The first Sunday after Easter, the Low Sunday. The epistle is taken from that of the first letter of St. John. Beloved, that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in blood, Jesus Christ, not in the water only, but in water and in blood. And this is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three witnesses that bear in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has testimony of God in himself. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, when it was late the same day, the first of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord, and he therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in their midst, said, "Peace be to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger and see my hands. Bring here thy hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today is the octave day of Easter. Now, today's feast goes by many names. It's known as Low Sunday, Little Easter Sunday, the octave day of Easter, Quasimodo Sunday, and also, more recently, Divine Mercy Sunday. So if you recall that in the church, when we have a great feast, oftentimes it is celebrated as an octave, that is 8 days from the feast, then all 8 days to the day of the week afterwards. So it's Sunday to Sunday in this case, in which we celebrate Easter. Anyone who came to daily Mass would notice that during some of the prayers we talk about on this day, referring to it as Easter, because that's the octave. The feast is so great that we take multiple days to have readings about different aspects of the feast and to celebrate for a whole week. And the octave day is also celebrated today as another aspect of that feast. And so because the feast is so great, we want to do this because we look at the feast in different ways. So on Easter Sunday, the main celebration, of course, was the resurrection of our Lord. Resurrected, sequit dixit. He resurrected as he said. And this is the great glory of Easter. Our Lord conquered death, and we celebrate that on Easter. However, that isn't the end of it. Our Lord overcame death. He won all the graces to be distributed, and even some that aren't going to be distributed. He won them by his passion and death. But there's more to it than that. And that is, they have to be applied. The graces are to come out from Christ. How? or where, to whom, to me, to you. This is what today is about. Christ won all those graces, but he doesn't keep them for himself. He gives them, he won them for us. Now, in about 80 years ago, 70 years ago, our Lord appeared to Sister Faustina, Saint Faustina, and he talked about divine mercy. And he referred to how he wanted this Sunday to be referred to as Divine Mercy Sunday. And we should remember that it was this Mass, these exact readings, these prayers that were being said in the Universal Church at the time. And this idea of divine mercy fits perfectly with these readings. Now, there are five aspects to divine mercy. First, our Lord talks about the image. We have the image here, the beautiful image. We have one over there also, in which we see our Lord with the two rays of light coming from his heart. The white and the red represents the water and the blood which came from his side when he was pierced with a lance. Now, that water and blood represents the sacraments, water of baptism and the blood of the Eucharist that brings us in union with him. You know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, Adam was put to sleep. It says Adam, God put Adam into a deep sleep, and he took a piece of his side, latus, it says in the Latin, which means a piece of his side. We usually say a rib, but it just means a piece of his side. And God built his bride, Eve, from that piece of him. And when Adam awoke and he saw her, he said, "Now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And then it says, and this is why a man joins his wife and the two will be one. You know, Christ also fell into a deep sleep, the sleep upon the cross. And his side was open to build up his bride, the church, you and me. And we receive a piece of his body also in communion so that we could be united to him, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, so that we would be the bride of Christ, the entire church, and we are members of that. This is a very ancient understanding of the crucifixion, and we see it here in the image also with the two rays of light, the water of baptism and the blood of the Eucharist, by which we are reconciled and united to him. At the bottom of the image, it says, "Jesus, I trust in you." This can be understood in either as faith or hope, really both together. The reconciliation, our Lord does what he promises. This is our trust in him, that he will do what he promises. You know, in today's reading, we see our Lord giving the apostles the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? So that their sins, so that they can forgive sins, so that they can reconcile people to him. This is one of the graces of the cross. And it is on today, it's a special day where we want to especially go to confession to celebrate this reconciliation, to remember it and to be reconciled. He gives us in this, and we trust in him that he will do what he says. We hope in him that he will give us the graces to be able to follow him. Now, another aspect of this our Lord talks about, and that is Divine Mercy Sunday, that is today. He wants today to be a special remembrance of his mercy in reconciling us. He died on the cross. Why? For me and for you. And this is the day when we really want to remember that, those gifts he gave to us. Thirdly, there's a third aspect, and that is the chaplet of divine mercy. Our Lord revealed this miraculously to Saint Faustina, and he said, "I made it easy so that you could recite it on regular rosary beads. We don't have to carry two little chaplets around, so that it would be easy for us to to ask our Lord, to ask the Father for his mercy for us and the whole world. And then he also talks about the fourth aspect is the hour of mercy. He says 3 o'clock is the hour of mercy, in which it would be good if we would just even make a little remembrance of our Lord, for that is the hour he died. He died for me and you, for everyone. And to remember his death at that moment, just say a little prayer. There's a couple prayers that we can say, just something simple. Jesus, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Just something simple like that. He asked for that also. And then finally, most importantly, the fifth aspect is that we are to be merciful. We are to spread mercy, and we are to be merciful. Our Lord came to give us mercy. And that if we are to be united to him, if we are to be his bride, then we ourselves, me, you, have to be merciful. You know, it's always very sad when I hear about a Catholic who has a hard heart, who doesn't forgive their neighbor when they offend them in some way. And it's particularly painful when I hear about it here in the parish, about parents being hard-hearted to their children or children to their parents, or one person against another person. And we've been here long enough, this parish is now almost 7 years old, that it happens. And I hear about it, and it's sad. We need to have a heart that is ready to forgive. One thing that will be a block to grace, to the soul, is to have a hard heart. It's what we call an obex in Latin. It's an obex, a blockage to grace. If we hold on to things in our heart, then that grace will be not given to us. Either we won't benefit from it, or it just won't be given to us. You know, there's the parable where our Lord talks about the king who forgives the man who has the debt, which is infinite almost. And that man goes out, and when he finds his brother who owes him so much less, and he has him thrown in prison. Not his brother, his friend, his acquaintance, has him thrown in prison because he doesn't have mercy. When the king finds out, what happens? He throws that merciless servant into prison. And that's what will happen to us. If we do not forgive our neighbor with our heart. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to be foolish, that we have to open ourselves up for that person to offend us again, but we have to have that change of heart to let it go. It's best to think about Our Lady. When we approach Our Lady or Our Lord, even Our Lord, with our sins, what do? They say, Our Lady says, you know, my son suffered for you, and he keeps suffering for you, and you keep doing this again and again and again. Does she say that? No. She lets that go. I suffered looking at my son on the cross because of your sins. No, she doesn't say that. She lets it go and brings us to her son to be reconciled. Her heart is ready to forgive. Our Lord's heart is ready to forgive. That is mercy. And that's how we should be. If the other person doesn't want that mercy, we have to pray for them. Just like if a soul doesn't want to be reconciled to Christ, our Lord and our Lady pray for them. But it's not in their heart that is stopping them, stopping that person from being reconciled. It's the other person. And so that's our attitude, that if someone has offended us, we need to pray for the grace to let go, and that if that person asks for reconciliation, then we give it quickly. As our Lord forgives us, so he expects us to forgive each other. And as I said, it is always very sad when I hear little things between Catholics. Here in this parish, this person isn't talking to that person because of some foolish little thing. We need to let go of these things if we expect our Lord to forgive us. So, today is the feast in which we look to our Lord for the application of the graces he won upon the cross. He won them for us. He wants to distribute them to us, but we have to imitate him. Our hearts have to be like his. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.